Most betrayals are accidental. This one was designed. It started as a cruel prank, a dare in bad taste, a joke I should have buried the moment it crossed my mind. But jealousy doesn't whisper, it screams. My sister, Kira, had everything I wanted. The perfect husband, a picture-perfect life, the adoration of our parents. And I was always the second-best daughter, the afterthought. So when her husband's identical twin, Mason, came to stay with them during the holidays, I saw an opportunity, not to hurt her, just to remind her she wasn't untouchable. What I didn't expect was for the game to spiral into obsession, for secrets to unravel so fast we couldn't patch them up. One night, one bed, one wrong man. Now Kira's pregnant, her marriage is on life support, and Mason? He doesn't want out. He wants in. This isn't just a scandal. It's a house of cards collapsing under the weight of lust, lies, and family loyalty. What started as a joke may end in destruction, because when the truth comes out, someone's going to lose everything. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The Setup. My name is Janelle, and I've always been the shadow. Growing up, Kira was the star. The older, prettier sister with the golden hair, the magnetic smile, the natural grace that made teachers and boys melt. Our mother called her Angel. Me? I was trouble. Kira got praise. I got probation. Her trophies lined the mantel. My detentions lined my file. We were raised in the same house by the same parents, but Kira might as well have lived in a palace and me in the dungeon. She married Derek Hayes right out of college, the town's golden boy. Loyal, soft-spoken, and head over heels for her. Their wedding looked like something out of a bridal magazine. I was the maid of honor, and not once did she thank me. Still, I played the good sister. I smiled for photos. I let my resentment simmer quietly, until Mason showed up. Mason Hayes was Derek's identical twin, estranged for years, living out west after a falling out no one talked about. He showed up one cold November weekend, taller, broader, with a rugged stubble and a darker edge. Where Derek was gentle, Mason was sharp. Where Derek was polite, Mason didn't care. I was drawn to him instantly. Thanksgiving weekend. Our family was gathered at Kira and Derek's big colonial home. Mason was crashing in their guest room for a few days. The wine was flowing. Tension hung in the air like perfume. And that's when the idea struck me. A prank. Just a simple switch. Derek was out late picking up more wine. Kira was already tipsy. Mason had just come from the shower. All it would take was a flick of the light, a whisper in the dark, and I swear I didn't think she'd go through with it. She crept into the guest room just after midnight. I watched from the hallway, heart pounding. Mason didn't stop her. He didn't say a word. And in the silence that followed, the air turned thick with something I couldn't explain. Excitement, shame, maybe both. The next morning, everything was normal. Too normal. Kira made coffee, kissed Derek on the cheek, and laughed at our father's bad jokes like nothing happened. Mason avoided my gaze, but when I cornered him on the back porch, he said four words that made my stomach drop. She knew it was me. I blinked. What? She knew, he repeated, lighting a cigarette. And she didn't care. That should have been the end. But the weeks that followed were like watching a slow-motion train crash. Kira started disappearing on weekends. Derek looked tired. Mason stopped returning my texts. I should have walked away. Instead, I kept digging. One night in December, I followed Kira after she left Mom's Christmas party early. She didn't go home. She drove to a hotel on the edge of town. Room 211. I waited in the parking lot for over an hour before Mason walked in through the side door. That night, I made the mistake of telling Derek. It wasn't to protect him, it was spite. jealousy, rage. But he didn't cry. He didn't even yell. He just said, "I wondered when I'd stop being enough." By New Year's Eve, Kira moved out. She said it was space, but everyone knew better. Mason moved into an apartment across town. Derek stayed in the house. And I? I kept the secret, because a new one had just begun. Kira showed up on my doorstep in February, eyes puffy, cheeks pale. "I'm pregnant," she whispered, "and I don't know which brother is the father." By the time spring arrived, our family was splintered. Kira lived alone. Derek filed for separation. Mason claimed he wasn't ready to be a dad, but still showed up at Kira's every other night. No one told our parents. On the surface, it was business as usual. Underneath, it was chaos. And somehow, I was still the puppet master. Or maybe the witness. Depends who you ask. Kira's belly started to show. Derek refused to take a paternity test until after the baby was born. Mason, true to form, played hot and cold, whispering promises one day, ghosting her the next. I thought I'd feel vindicated, but all I felt was numb. Until the baby shower. It was a sunny June afternoon. My mother insisted on hosting it at her house, pretending everything was normal. Guests brought blue balloons and tiny booties. Kira looked radiant. I watched her from across the yard, and for the first time, I realized something terrifying. She was in love. Not with Derek, not even with Mason, but with the drama, the chaos, the attention. She thrived in it. Later that night, I found Mason sitting on the back steps, staring into the woods. "You never told her the truth, did you?" I asked. He looked up. "What truth?" "That I was the one who set the whole thing up, that it was supposed to be a prank." He smiled bitterly. "She figured it out." I froze. "What?" "She told me last week. Said she knew it was you from the beginning. Said she wanted to see what you'd do." I felt like I'd been slapped.
"She used me?"
He nodded. "Looks like you're not the only one who can play games." Chapter 2. The Climax. A month after the baby shower, the walls came crashing down. The DNA test was delivered in a plain envelope, but its contents detonated like a bomb. I was there when Derek opened it. His fingers trembled. His eyes darted across the page once, then again. Like maybe if he read it fast enough, the truth would change. Mason Hayes, 99.9% probability of paternity. No more lies, no more pretending. Derek sat there in silence for a long time, the document loose in his hands. Then, without a word, he stood up, grabbed his car keys, and walked out of his own house. He didn't come back. That was the first domino. The rest followed with deadly precision. Kira moved Mason in a week later. She didn't ask. She didn't explain. She just posted a selfie on Instagram with him on the couch, arm draped over her shoulder, captioned with a heart emoji and the baby's due date. It felt like a middle finger aimed at the entire family. Our parents didn't know what to make of it. Maybe Derek pushed her away, Mom said, grasping for excuses. Maybe Mason's trying to do the right thing. No one wanted to say what we all felt. Kira had manipulated everyone, played us like pawns, and still came out looking like the victim, the pregnant sister, the one who was left. But I knew the truth. And that's when the guilt began to rot. I told myself it had just been a prank, just a stupid, misguided joke. But that lie didn't hold up anymore. I hadn't pranked her. I had exposed her. And now I couldn't stop what I'd started. The night Kira went into labor, she called me. Not Derek, not Mason. Me. I drove to the hospital in a fog. She was already in a room, pale and sweating, gripping the bed rails like they were the last thing tethering her to this world. Mason paced the hallway, useless and panicked. "He's not even in the room with her?" I asked. "He said childbirth freaks him out," the nurse whispered. "Of course it did. When the baby was born, she named him Lucas. He had Mason's eyes, Kira's lips, and a future built on lies. Mason held him awkwardly for one photo before disappearing again. Derek sent flowers and a card. I stayed the night, listening to Kira breathe in the dark. "Do you hate me?" she asked quietly. I didn't answer. Not because I didn't know, because I wasn't sure if I hated her more for what she did, or for how much I still wanted to be her. 2 weeks later, the truth exploded. Mason left. For good. Kira had caught him texting another woman. When she confronted him, he didn't deny it. He just said, "What did you expect?" She threw his clothes out the window. He didn't even try to take the baby. Then came the twist no one saw coming. Derek filed for full custody of Lucas. We all thought he was bluffing. He wasn't even the father. But his lawyer argued that Derek had acted as the psychological parent, that he'd been involved in Kira's prenatal care, that he'd attended doctor visits, bought baby supplies, even set up the nursery. In short, he had been the only stable adult in that child's life, and he wanted to raise Lucas without Kira. She was livid, screamed at him outside the courthouse, accused him of trying to steal her child to get revenge, but Derek was calm, calculated. He looked her dead in the eye and said, "Someone needs to protect him, and it's clearly not going to be you." It was the final blow. That night I went to visit Derek. I hadn't seen him since the paternity results. I expected him to slam the door in my face. Instead, he let me in. "Why now?" I asked. "Why fight for a kid that's not yours?" He sat down, rubbing his temples. "Because I loved him the second I saw the ultrasound. I loved him before he had a name, before I knew." "That's not your responsibility," I said. "Yes, it is," he replied. "Because I stayed. When everyone else left, I stayed, and I won't let her turn him into a weapon." His eyes flicked up to mine. "And I know you won't either." It took me a moment to understand what he meant. And then it hit me. He knew. He knew what I'd done. "Kira told me," he said, answering my unspoken question. "She told me you orchestrated the switch, that you started all of this." I swallowed hard. "I'm sorry," I whispered. "I never meant for it to go this far." He nodded slowly. "I believe you." But the hurt in his eyes said otherwise. The custody case dragged on for months. Kira fell apart in public. Videos of her screaming at reporters went viral. Her job put her on unpaid leave. Mason vanished off the grid entirely. And I? I stayed by Derek's side. Not for redemption, not even for love, but for Lucas. The boy who shouldn't have existed. The boy whose birth tore apart two families and somehow saved me. 6 months later, the judge ruled in Derek's favor. Kira was granted supervised visitation. Mason never showed up to the hearings. When Derek and I left the courthouse with Lucas asleep in his carrier, he turned to me and said, "You can walk away now if you want." I looked at the baby, then at him. "I'm not going anywhere. We never said I love you. We never needed to. But this isn't a happy ending. Because secrets don't stay buried. They fester." One night, a letter showed up in my mailbox. No return address. Inside was a single photo. Kira, holding Lucas. Smiling. On the back, one sentence written in red ink. "He's mine, and I'm coming back for him."